The greatest question of our time, offered by historian Will Durant, is not communism versus individualism, and communism is still a threat and will be a threat, not Europe versus America, not even East versus the West. He said, it is whether men can live without God. That's it. Can they? Well, they can physically survive, but can they really live? And I'd say the question is no. The question that now appears will be answered in our own time. What we've seen unfold in just even the last 15 years from our government perspective and several other things that have ramifications to all of us. That's absolutely the truth. Jesus deals with this issue in the new paragraph in chapter 5, starting in verse 31. Remember, last week we saw how he was giving witness that he was God. That's who he was. And that now he picks it up and he calls witnesses to verify who he is and what his task was. Okay, so that's what we have in this paragraph today. He says, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There's another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. We know that, right? You know, I could stand up here and say, well, I declare I didn't do it. But if it's something in question, you won't believe it until what? A outside witness comes in. So that's exactly what he does in this verse. He says, you know, I can't just tell you myself. I'm going to call somebody in as a witness. And what he does, he calls in God the Father. He calls in John the Baptist. He calls in miracles. And he calls in the Scripture. And he says, all these testify that this is true about me. I'm not doing it myself. They are all witnesses that I am God in the flesh, and this is my purpose. And that's what he does in this paragraph that we're going to see today. Yet you sent unto John, and you bear witness unto the truth. Remember, the Jews went to John, as we'll see in just a moment, and they believed who he was, and he was a prophet. And he said, he told the truth. But I received not a testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his sight. But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father had given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness in me that the Father has sent me. He's talking about the miracles that he has done, that they have actually seen. And the Father himself, which has sent me, have borne witness in me, as we'll see again how when he said, when the dove lit on Jesus' shoulder, you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape, and you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he have sent, ye believe him not. It's amazing what he's going to unfold there in the Scripture in the last part. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are that testify in me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. That's the question. Will we believe? And that's exactly what he was posing to the Jews there at that time. And they didn't, and unfortunately. This is the most foundational doctrine, the doctrine of unbelief or unwillingness to believe, related to the gospel salvation of mankind. And that is it, the doctrine of unbelief. When even faced with evidence that you just say, man, it's true, but I don't receive it. You know, I don't believe it. That's exactly what he's talking about. The unwillingness of the sinner to believe the truth, even when it's face to face. You know, like some people, you have a solid red ball in front of you, and you hold it up and say, this ball is red. And they say, oh, no, that ball's not red. It's green. That's exactly what we're talking about. When the evidence is just as clear as day, you know, they say, oh, no, I'm just not going to believe it. That's not it. The sinner's unwillingness to believe when there's complete evidence, testimony, is perhaps the clearest demonstration of the depth of our sin, of fallen man, of the depravity. Meaning that, you know, what did Adam and Eve do? That's exactly it. You see, unbelief is the mother sin. It's the father sin. It's the sin by which all other sins come out of. You say, what? Absolutely. Why? Because the sin started when Eve failed to believe what God said. Isn't that right? That's where it started. It started with unbelief, when she chose not to believe. This condition of sinful man, where he is both unable to make any contribution to salvation and unwilling at the same time to come to the one who is the only one who can fix it. I can't fix it, but I'm not going to trust him to fix it. You know, that's it. If God, remember, I put this up last week and it just pertains to it again. Nietzsche said, even if God's existence could be proven, we still would refuse to believe it. That's exactly where we are. You know, and that's where mankind has been since Adam and Eve. It's nothing new. It's exactly the same, will always be the same, always. Unbelief is never due to a lack of evidence. Well, if God would just, what was that pagan guy's name who said, well, you know, it'd be easier to believe in God if he would just deposit $1 million in a Swiss bank account in my name. What was his name? One of those crazies out of California. I forgot. What was his name? An actor. And, you know, isn't what just makes me sick? When they post on some of these things, well, here's what such and such and such believes, so who cares? You know, what basis do they have to even make this decision? Meredith's got more sense than half of them put together. So why they even, anyway, it is never due to a lack of evidence. Because you can't just say, well, God, you just have to prove yourself because he already has. Nothing in the Bible holds God responsible for people who do not believe. Nowhere. Now, I know there's a lot of people, this is exactly what they say. They say, oh, yeah, it's God's double decree. Predestination says, oh, yeah, God chose that one, but he didn't choose this one, so it's really not up to them. It never says that in the Bible. It says what? What does it say? It says, if they don't believe. That's what it says. It means they make a choice. It says whosoever. It is not because of a double decree on God's part. It's not because of a lack of evidence. What did Romans say? It says what? They knew God, but they cast him aside and suppressed it in unrighteousness. They just said, we don't believe, we don't want that. So they cast it aside. Not of insufficient provision of sacrifice. Nothing to do with that whatsoever. What is it? It is simply because someone makes a choice that they'll do it on their own and they don't need God. It's always been that way. Eve did that. Well, I'm going to go with the devil because I like his method. I like what he's promised me better than what you're doing, God. So she chose not to take God at his word, and sin came in the picture. And it's still that same way today. Everything we do is dealing with that concept of, or do we really believe? Because if we really believe, it has an effect on our life. It's where it turns out. Okay, now, all that's introduction. Y'all ready to go? Gilbert Tennant was a Presbyterian preacher, and he preached a famous sermon back when you were young in 1740 in Nottingham, Pennsylvania. He was from Europe, and he came over to help George Whitefield. Actually, he came over and helped George Whitefield with the Great Awakening when the first time in our country there was a real spiritual revival. And he preached a famous sermon entitled The Unconverted Ministers. Even then, they had people preaching that didn't have any business being in the pulpit. And we're going to see that unfold in the last part of what we look at the scriptures today. So the first person he calls on the Father. He calls on the Father to witness deity. He says, if I bear witness to myself, what did I say? I might just say, yeah, I declare that's who I am. But sometimes you got to step outside of yourself and get somebody else to be a witness for you as a testimony. So someone believe you. We know how that works too often. The judge admonished one person. They called him up on the stand and he said, you know, do you understand you're under oath and you have to tell the truth, right? Yeah, I understand. He said, do you know what's going to happen if you fail to tell the truth? He said, yes, sir, my side's going to win. You understand that? Truth is a serious issue. And, let me stay out of the political arena, but truth in the political arena is not a thing that anybody cares about anymore. You can just lie up a storm and it really doesn't matter. But it is an issue. Why? Because what we truly believe truly affects our life. And that's exactly the point. He says, God is my witness. I'm calling him in. He calls another witness, God himself, all the way down through this paragraph. And these different things that we're going to see, God is calling. He says, as a witness, this, 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 and this. Okay? He goes on and he says, my relationship with God the Father is a witness as well. In verse 30, he says, I can do nothing of my own initiative, but what? I do the will of him who sent me. What is he doing? He's carrying out, even in the next part when we look at the miracles that he did, he's carrying out exactly what God intended for him to do. So the Father is a witness for him as to who he is and what he's about. One example of that was whenever Jesus was baptized. You remember what happened in Luke? He says what? Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. That's a testimony. It's a witness. And that's exactly what it is. He's calling God in this paragraph to be a witness for him as to who he is and what he is supposed to be about. I remember I love to read Reader's Digest. They have all these true little stories in there. And it's amazing how people are just like us, and they'll write them, and you can get $5 for them if they take them. Isn't that right? I've never sold one to them, but, you know, these little things, they'll pay you for them. Well, this grandmother, elderly lady, was brought into the courtroom to be a witness for some situation. So when they brought her up on the stand, the prosecuting attorney looked at her and said, Mrs. Jones, do you know me? And she said, yeah, I know you. I used to babysit you for your mom and dad whenever you were little. And she said, and you know, quite frankly, I'm disappointed in you. And she just went on and just blasted him about how sorry he was. And after he got his breath, he says, well, do you know the defense attorney? He said, yeah, I know Mr. Bradley as well. I'm just as disappointed in him as I am you. He said he's an alcoholic, and he can't keep a relationship with anybody, and his attorney business is the shabbiest in the whole state. Well, the courtroom's erupting, and finally the judge gets an order. He calls both of those guys up to the front in a very, very low voice. He says, if either one of y'all ask her if she knows me, I'll have you jailed for contempt. Why? The truth. That's it. You know, why do people lie? Because they don't want to tell the truth. Because it usually condemns them. Even, you know, when you do something wrong, you admit you've done something wrong, and you go on with it and try to fix it. You know, Abraham Lincoln said that. He said, he had a lot of problems, but he's right about this. If you lie, you better have a good memory. Because you're going to have to tell another one to back up the one that you just told. And that's exactly what it is. He says, God is my witness. This is who I am. And that's what he does. He calls God and he says, my relationship with him is a witness. Then he calls on John the Baptist. Now, we've been going through this in John, the whole chapter, so we know exactly how he's referring to him and what he's talking about. He says, you sent John. He's talking to the Jews. He said, John came, and all you Jews sent people out to the wilderness to hear him. And they did, by the thousands. They went out there to hear him, and they recognized him as a prophet. They said, he is a, you know, the whole nation was excited about who he was because he hadn't been a prophet in hundreds of years. He did no miracles, but they saw him clearly as a fulfillment of the promise of God to the Jews. So they believed him, okay? And look what John did. They believed he was a prophet, and everyone thought he was a prophet, but his message was what? He says, I'm not the one. He is the one. Remember in the message we saw how he said, I came just to precursor him so that you would receive him when he came. So his whole job was, he was telling the people, you need to follow him. He's the Christ. And you believe John, and you believe the Father. They're all my witnesses. But he's going to get to the next part. He said, but you don't believe who I am. That was the question. Why? How can a person receive the man Jesus as being from God, as we'll see in a moment? Nicodemus absolutely said that, didn't he? Call him a prophet from God, rejoice that he's there, and then reject what he says. That's exactly what they did. The whole nation. That's what they did. And this is what the people still do. It's crazy what people do in the name of Jesus. And what they tell people in the name of Jesus. Wow. It demonstrates the natural unwillingness of the human heart. You remember this verse, right? Jeremiah. He said what? The heart is deceitful above everything. He said what? And desperately wicked. Here's how that translates. If you don't have someone around you, and the life groups are a great example. All of us need someone around us who can keep up with us to the point who tells us, you know, what you're doing is not good. You need to be careful. Why? Because left by yourself, you and I will convince ourselves that we're doing okay. It says what? Our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. We will justify our own sin. You know, I don't want to get political again. Let me get on out of there, all right? I just can't help it. It's so much of where we are. You know, you're not supposed to do that kind of stuff, right? I remember one time I got in serious trouble. I didn't know I was getting in trouble. And all I did was this. I just printed one of those pieces of papers that said, this is what the candidates stand for, and handed out to everybody in church. Well, there was a guy who was a bleeding liberal Democrat who I didn't know it at the time, but boy, he just went out the roof. He said, who gave you authority to do that? I said, I did. All it is information. I never got out there and said, you need to vote for this person. I just said, in case you don't know where these people stand on these issues, that's what it was. Why? Because when he saw the truth of that issue, he didn't like it. Because he's going to vote for somebody who's a pagan. And he calls himself a believer. See, that you need to get past this denomination, not denomination, what do you call it? Partisan. The what are they, donkeys and elephants? That should never be an issue. The issue should be, what do those people really believe about what's right for our country? And unfortunately, that's exactly, well, I don't know if you can really tell them apart anymore. But anyway, Jesus calls on the witness of miracles. Look at this. He says, but I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me, the miracles, the finished, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. Those things that God gave me to do, I've been doing those things, and they testify that I am who I said I am, and he backs me up. How many times when he would do something, he would pray to the Father? He said, your will be done. That's exactly what he's referring to when he says that. The Jewish leader Nicodemus, what did he do? Remember chapter 3? Whenever he goes to Jesus by night and he says, we know, now he's a Jewish leader. He says, we know that the miracles that you're doing, we know that unless God was with you, you couldn't do them. He believed that, but did all the Jews believe that? What did they attribute some of his miracles to later? You're from Satan. You're doing this in the power of Satan. And Jesus said, why would a house divide itself? You know, they're not thinking. But he saw that. So that was a testimony, a witness that the miracles that he did, God was behind it. And he says, you know, all these are witnesses as to who I am, that I am who I say I am. Now, here's the most important one. He calls on the witness of Scripture. You know, they had in front of them the exact Old Testament that we have in front of us. Okay, they were living out the New Testament, but the exact Old Testament that they had in their hand at that point was what we have in front of us. Isn't that what Jesus himself said? He says, I have given them thy word. He's talking about the Old Testament. You know, that's exactly what he's talking about. Look, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and it is they which testify me. Now, you have it in your hand, but it's not in your heart. The rejection of the Scripture in their life was severe. You know, it's just like you can memorize the whole Bible, but if it's never ingrained in your life where your life changes, what good is it? Right? That's exactly what he's talking about. He said, why? Because they meticulously, you know, they made copies and copies and copies of the Scripture, and every time they would write the Lord's name, they would take a brand new pen, write it, and then throw that one away. They had such respect for the Scriptures. I mean, and they, because they copied them so much, they knew them. He said, but you totally missed it. It's just like memorizing the Bible, but still living like a pagan. You know, what difference does it make? It doesn't make any difference. And that's exactly what he's telling them. Oh, you know the Scripture and you've gone through it and it testifies of me, but you completely missed it. Wow. What was that thing Randall showed us earlier on his little iPad? But no, that's political too. I better stay away from that, all right? I'm really not a political person, but when our country is in dire straits, somebody's got to pay attention, right? Hello? Right. That means you, as well as I. Jesus said, when judgment day comes, I'm not going to be the one who speak against you. He said to the Father, it will be Moses. Remember the verse that we read just a moment ago when Moses' name was in there? You say, what in the world does he mean by that? Moses is going to be the prosecuting attorney. Why? Now remember, all they had was the Old Testament. Moses had written from the very beginning about the Christ, who it was going to be, gave a symbolism. You see all in Leviticus how the tabernacle was a perfect picture of what Jesus would become. All of it was in there. So he said, you know, I'm not the one who's going to hold you guilty, even though I'm the judge. He said, Moses and the scripture that you have and revere is going to be your judge. Why? Because it told you who I am, and you wouldn't believe it. Wow. You had the scriptures, and you didn't believe them either. You didn't believe the prophet. You didn't believe the miracles. You didn't believe the scripture. All three things in the paragraph. They failed. The Old Testament scripture had been available for centuries and was available to the people then. So the testimony is far-reaching, wide, extensive testimony for God the Father to the deity of Jesus Christ. You know, that's the issue now. It's still the issue. So many people try to discredit God's Word. Why? Because it's an absolute authority that tells us exactly who God is. If it wasn't for that, it would all be speculation. And it's not about speculation. It's about He tells us exactly. He tells us who we are, what our problem is, who He is, and how He can fix it. You know, all the Old Testament, you know what it was about? It said someone is coming. You know what the New Testament said? Someone has come. And they didn't believe it. Sometimes I read stuff that I wish wasn't true. Just a couple years ago, I forgot the university, but two atheists actually did a research program, and their intent was to set out and prove that Christianity, religion, their leaders didn't even believe God. And they found it because it's out there. They had five different ones that they actually put in their writing. One was a Methodist, one was a United Church of Christ, which is the liberal wing, and one was a conservative Church of Christ. One was a Southern Baptist, and the other one was, I forgot what he was. But pretty much they all were the same. They started out, the guy from the Methodist Church, goodness, what was his name, West. He said, even going into college, I was an agnostic. I didn't really know if there was a God or not. But he said, now listen to this. By the time I finished seminary, you know what seminary is, right? It's a theological school. By the time I finished seminary, I didn't even believe in God. But he pastors a church, and he said, really, the place where I am, most of the people really don't disagree with me. He doesn't believe in that Jesus is God. He doesn't believe in the virgin birth. He doesn't believe in the resurrection. He doesn't believe in God. But he's the pastor. And you wonder why we're in such a mess we're in. Same thing. The liberal Church of Christ group, he was saying, he said, but same thing. Most of the people wouldn't disagree with me much if I got out there and told them really what I believe, because he went off of Bultmann and all those German liberals that came over, and that's kind of what and all these guys were trained people. Two of them were worship leaders. The Southern Baptist guy was a worship leader. And one of them said, you know, I just get up there on Sunday as a worship leader, and I just put on an act. I don't believe any of this stuff. He said, but I just see it as a play act. I get up there, and I lead them. And they said, and this is, he was honest. He said, I would quit, but I can't financially. I got to have a job. If somebody would just give me $200,000, I'd pay off all my stuff, and then I'd walk away and quit. But I got to have a job. That's a lot of what you see on television, by the way. That's exactly what you see. Why? They don't believe in God. They don't believe in that we're all sinners. They don't believe in a little hell. They don't believe in any of that stuff. They just kind of go through the motions. And it's no different than what the Jews were doing. They had it, but they said, oh, no, we don't believe that. And it's just multiplied now as to, you hear me say it all the time, and I'm going to keep saying it. If you believe this Bible is God's Word and Jesus is the only way to salvation, you are in a minority. Not only in the United States, by far in the world. Why? Because most people now are so skeptic, especially 30 years old and under, they don't believe anything. You know, you got to prove everything to them, and some of it you can't prove, so that's exactly where we are. When you look at where we've come from, as I said, Gilbert Tennant preached that 1740. How many years ago was that? 1840, 1940. Good gracious. It was going on then. Still going on. It's just intensified. Why? Now everybody wants a Friday. Isn't that right? We want something to make us feel good. We don't really want to deal with the truth of the issue. You know, why is it that people get drunk all the time? They don't want to deal with the truth of the issue, so they kind of numb themselves to it. Why do they do drugs? A lot of it is they don't want to deal with the truth of what's going on in their life, right? So they're looking for an out. That's exactly what happens. And this is what's going on in by and large in Christianity in America. We're probably worse in the world, I would say. Well, not any worse than Europe, my goodness. I remember reading a few years ago, the Danish church over there, their pastor wrote a book and said all these things and just said, you know, I don't believe in this and I don't believe in that. But a few of the leaders in the church had enough sense to call his hand on it. So the bishop who was over him went to him and talked to him and didn't even dismiss him. He said, well, he didn't find the best way to tell you that he didn't believe in God. Hello? What is that about? I told you, our Jewish friend in North Carolina, I saw him last year when we were up there at school, and a dear friend, and his brother-in-law lives in Dallas, Texas, and Jewish guy, and was really into the Jewish thing, you know, all the rituals and stuff. So he told him, he says, he went and talked to this brother-in-law went and talked to his rabbi, priest, about this. And the rabbi told him, he says, you know, you have all this stuff down. Why don't you become a rabbi? He said, well, I have one problem. I don't believe in God. And his rabbi said, well, that doesn't matter. I don't know if we understand where we are. You know, you have to be careful. Anything you read in any kind of book in the name of Jesus, you need to look who wrote it and what's going on behind them. There's a lot of this nonsense. Why? What did that guy say? I'm in it just for the money. I remember years and years ago, before I'd ever preached a sermon in my life, I went to my sister's church at some kind of thing they were having, and they had a traveling evangelist that came through, and he was talking to my brother-in-law, and my brother-in-law asked him, he said, you know, why do you do this out on the road instead of just having a church? He said, there's more money on the road. I can make more money on the road than I can having just one church. So, you know, don't be surprised by it. What you need to understand is just because they act like that doesn't give us a right to act like that. You know, they might be all messed up in the head, but don't think it's okay for us to do that. It's not. We just learn from that. The Jewish nation has so much evidence concerning Christ. They chose not to believe, and their unbeliefs would condemn them. We have the same evidence, but just more. Much more. We have the resurrection. This was written by Samuel Harris. He had written actually two books. He's an atheist and writes to try to take away from Christianity. The last one was Letters to a Christian Nation. And this is what he closed his book with. At least he's honest. Okay. Remember, now, this is an atheist who's setting out to try to keep people from Christianity and to discredit it. Okay. Look what he writes. We agree, for instance, that if one of us is right, he being an atheist not believing in God, and the other being a person who believes in God and believes that Jesus is salvation, okay? The other is wrong. The Bible is either the Word of God or it isn't. That's it. That's plain. Either you believe it or you don't. You can't chop it up and say, well, I like this part and I don't like that part. You don't have that right to do that. Man, I love what Jack Nicholson said in the movie. I didn't play the last part because it got kind of intense. He said, I don't give a rip what you think. You know, and that's exactly, it doesn't really matter what somebody else does or what they say about the Bible. You have to decide, is it true or not? Will I believe it or not? Either Jesus offers humanity the one true path to salvation, and this atheist sees it. What is that? There's no other name given under by heaven. What does it say here? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father, but how? By me. Not by the church, but by me, Jesus said. Or he does not. It's pretty simple for him. We agree that to be a Christian is to believe that all other faiths are mistaken, and profoundly so. You know, we can't, well, everybody's okay. No, they're not. One is right, and all the rest are wrong, or all are wrong. Why? They're too different. You can't have every one of them being right, totally. It's just impossible. If Christianity is correct and I persist in my unbelief, I should expect to suffer the torments of hell. A lot of preachers in this day and time don't even believe there is a hell. Standing up in front of pulpits, well, just, okay, let me keep going. I should expect to suffer the torments of hell. Worse still, I have persuaded others and many close to me to reject the very idea of God. Wow. He's in trouble. They too will languish in eternal fire. This atheist believes if the Bible is true, there is eternal hell. That's what he believes. If the basic doctrine of Christianity is correct, I have missed my life in the worst conceivable way. Either you believe or you don't. Either you commit to it or you don't. We can say one thing, and if our life says something else, then one of them's lying. He said, you have all these things as evidence, but you don't believe. The question is for us, individually, where are we? Do we really believe this is God's word? I believe it is. The moment you ever hear me come in here and I say something about, well, I don't believe God's word is true on this, you're going to go ahead and have me committed somewhere because I've lost my mind. I mean, really. And if that is true and we believe that, then our life's supposed to be different because of that. So, you know how I tell you, if you're going to speed all the time, don't put a Christian sign on the back of your car. That's a bad testimony, right? So if we're going to say something, our lives need to be involved. Remember what he says, you have the word up here, but it's never made it down here to what controls your life. So you missed it. Where are we? Do we believe? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for loving us first. Thank you if we would turn to you with the slightest faith, you would encourage us, you would give us more to respond to, and you would help us. Lord, thank you for that mercy and the grace. Just remind each one of us, we have to decide one way or the other. Are you God in the flesh in the person of Jesus who died on the cross for our sin, or are you not? We will allow you to deliver us from ourselves and the penalty that will be there in the future. Lord, we thank you that you have a good plan for us if we'll just trust you. Help us today. Increase our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.